Dear Annette Kaiser, I want to welcome you warmly to the Conscious Evolution Summit.
Thank you.
And I also want to welcome all the viewers and listeners all over the globe. And before we go into our conversation, our deep dive with Annette, I would like to invite you to take a moment to really become present in your body, where you are, and not just open your ears, but also open your heart and your soul and whatever you can open, because I know that what Annette is bringing and sharing with us is of so deep value. So, and the image I got is as if we would be dry land, which hasn't received rain for weeks or months, and how this land then opens every pore when there is rain coming. And to go into this inner attitude of open everything you can and relax into it, I want to invite you.
What a beautiful beginning. Mm-hmm. Rain is a symbol for grace. Mm. So yes, may grace be with us, which is always there. It's just the question if we are aware of it. It's always here.
Yeah, and this kind of brings me really right into my first question, because what I sense, and I guess this many people have this issue or this obstacle, that I can really tune in a frequency in me where I would say, this is my personality, this is my history, these are my experiences, these are emotions. And then I can also tune in to a frequency in me where it's hard to find words, where it's limitless, where it feels timeless, where there is no age, where there is no story, where there is no beginning and no end. And for me, it's, I'm so curious to explore more and more, how can I be both? Because I guess we are, in a way, we are both.
Yes, you're right. We are both. We are the wave and the sea, the sea and the wave. We are the formless and the form. We are the ultimate reality materializing in this world as not two. And this, of course, takes us, most of us, some time to really be rooted in that truth, because that is really the quantum leap. We are starting to be affected more and more at the time being. So what to do is actually, first thing is always to step back of the busyness. Of the do's and musts and shoulds, and for a moment just be still, observing your breathing, finding your feet on the ground, feeling a moment the grass, and just breathing in and out very in your own rhythm. And then you feel there, you see there, this little gap between each breath, this gap between each thought, and there it is together. And there the wave, in a way, also starts and comes back to
us. Yeah, this matches very much my experience, because I would say in the last years, I put it much more emphasis to not doing, to the gaps, to reducing doing, to find a lot of time to just rest and to listen and to breathe, to feel, to be there. And what I found out is that in a way, when I do that, I sense my system as if it would kind of synchronize with something much bigger, and then things fall into another order and into another perspective. And when I then come into activity, it feels easier, and it feels right, and it feels supported in a way.
Yeah, that's very well said, what you just described. It is really like that. If you are in tune with the cosmic intelligence that works through us beyond mind, including mind, beyond emotion, including emotion, but it's not, how do I say, it's something, a frequency that is higher than all that, including all of this, what I just said. And this cosmic intelligence, or you can call it whatever you want, is self-organizing, self-renewing, self-correcting. Still, it needs a yin-yang balance of us, not only to think, oh, we can, you know, sit on our cushion and then it will synchronize everything. Yes, at the same time, the becoming, being and the becoming has for me now the evolutionary light in it, where we start to co-create becoming more consciously in a way of doing in non-doing.
And do you also think that, or what is your experience? Because I sense when I then in a way take really this time to rest in the being, in a way it seems that it's much more easy to attract the people and or to tune in the moment, and to it feels as if it's like a magnet bringing things together. Is this something you also would agree in, or?
Oh. Completely, because actually in the being present, in the presence, we start to love what is. So we give in a way a frequency out that attracts. In the same frequency we send out, because it always comes together. So things really start to be much easier if we are allowing ourselves not so much to go with our personality or the I that wants, but much more to be in the big flow, expressing our unique gifts in it. Oh, wow. Life really starts to be a celebration. Mm. And that is also my experience.
And in your experience, and with all the wisdom you bring, because I know you have a really rich background in different traditions, and especially in the Sufi tradition with Irina Tweedy, where you studied with her for, I guess, 17 years or something like that. What supports this trust and this really, you know, where you really put things into perspective and where you take the time for that and where you bring your attention there? What supports that process?
Each moment. That is the invitation, in a way, to be present. And if we are for once or twice or three times a day or even in an hour not present, so just take the invitation to come back into presence. So not punishing yourself that you are not in presence, but having in a kind of friendship with yourself and all your aspects of your being, and also work through love, attraction, you know. And if you can be so kind with yourself, you can be kind with other persons too. You are getting kind with everybody all at once. And that is, I think, also a new stage in humanity, how we treat each other so that peace becomes a reality more and more on this earth.
So would you then say, Annette, that this inner personal work, so to speak, or attunement is a prerequisite, because you then, out of that, it's not a doing, but kind of other qualities can unfold and can come to the surface, which really bring our togetherness as humanity to another expression than we have it now mostly seen in the society?
Yes and no. Because I say no, first maybe that, because the yes is for many of us already casual, we understand. That is very, very helpful to understand what the frequency of thinking is and what the frequency of presence is, because that's a huge step. And it's really an evolutionary quantum leap, I call it, if more and more people are dwelling or are rooted in presence. I say no, because there are now young people on this world being born few years ago or being born now that have the experience of not falling into the two. They are present since birth and stay in this unity we all experience as a baby, not conscious, but they are already conscious since the beginning. So for them, they can, in a way, already go ahead with the next step, which is a collective step to really lift up the frequency of whole humanity.
And in your experience, what supports us in that as a collective to shift into this frequency, what you described?
Yes, I think very shortly. I would like to make a loop first, because I think it's very important that we understand where we are located in a time and space frame right now as humanity. So if I make quickly the frame, you know, when you put the whole world's development into a one-year circle, each day is 12 million years old. So we started, you know, the 1st of January at 00.1. Then there was stone and water. And in February, first life was seen on this planet Earth. That's big quantum leap, the first bacteria. Then it took a long, long time till, I would say, more complex living plants, animals could develop. So the fishes were only about in November seen on our planet Earth after millions and millions of years. Then we had the dinosaurs. They were experienced or seen on our planet Earth in that model on the 10th of December, end of and disappeared on the 24th of December. Now, the human being appeared a quarter to midnight at the very last day. And that's the next big quantum leap. Creations that have 2 feet walk on them and have the gift of self-reflection. And our whole history is the last 3 minutes of before midnight, from the antique to here. So it's just good to have the whole context. Now we are standing in a next big quantum leap. That means that humanity gets conscious. That means that evolution is getting conscious of itself, which is unbelievable, believable, big step. So there we are in the beginning. It's actually like Ken Wilber said, you know, we go from the first year of separation. You have all these little separation stages. We go into unity, into oneness. The understanding that life is inseparable one is a quantum leap, and it will change everything, every domain we are living in. Because what we see now on the world is really getting to a point of destruction where we have, it's an invitation to make a next step. So what is important? I think for the time being, where it is a time of transition from the old to a new culture, I will call it, is presence. Now, the power of now, which loves what is, very naturally, there's nothing to do, because that's what we are. Present, that just loves everybody all at once. That's the first thing. And we cultivate, you know, a little bit more and more. So it gets like our second nature, the power of now. The second, I think, is important, discernment. That we have an understanding, all the appearance, the world, the cosmos, is on the frequency of image, of film. It is not the mirror, which is empty. Or in the cinema, we have the Leinwand, how is it called in
English? Screen.
The screen which always exists, you know, over time, over space, whatever. So, because it's important that we don't get identified with the image. So that we take off the energy of the image, love it, what is, but in the presence, in the Zeugenbewusstsein, what is that in English?
Witnessing it.
In the witness, in the status of witness. So that is very important, because then we have, how do I say, we can be calm and joyous looking at it. And only then we are really creative. And only then we really can bring change into that world in co-creation. Otherwise, it's not possible when we are identified. Then we say, oh no, we have that not only personally, it's also in the collective. It's nationwide, me first. You know, we need the resources, we need the energy, we need all that. It will not work, because the next level, we cannot solve the problems on the level where they have been created. We have to go on a higher level, which is me. So the next thing is the evolutionary context, which I explained already, that we understand, wow, evolution is now going through consciousness of the human being. So we understand that we are creator and created at the same time. And we are, in a way, exploring the impossible as possible. Which leads me to the fourth point, in a way, to use or to explore the field of all possibilities that exist in the now, in the present. And we are going into a field of wonders. So to explore that, and that we are also discovering not only the power that is in the materia or in the physics, but also in the metaphysics. And that we are able in the inner view or in the inner feeling that everybody all is at once, inseparable one. And we are for the good of all creating, living as a part of it. And the last one is, for the fifth one aspect is maybe to really form small communities, networking, you know, all these little points of light that we inspire each other. That because I think the powers, the destructive powers, will still be building up on the visible, on the mainstream information we get. But the new green, as Professor Dürr, quantum physicist, always said, we hear very easily when a tree is cut, how it falls down. But we don't see the young green trees already growing. And there are many, many grass, many, many trees growing all over the world. And we have, in a way, to have a stability in the vision of the good or the future, how things can develop and not get distracted by destructive, you know, information or this or that, not excluding it, including them, being open, because love is inclusive. It has also a heart for Mr. Trump and discernment, what he's doing. It has a heart for every human being, for everything that exists. At the same time, has a clear direction. Yes, for humanity. One world, one humanity, one consciousness.
So there were two things which popped up when I was listening to your wonderful explanation, is that first there was, when you said really embracing all and loving all, and it's not really something we need to do, it's just when we rest and when we relax, we can sense that in a way that's what we are. We can't help, that's anyways there. And my experience is that when then discernment comes or action are coming, they are not motivated by fear or by anger or by aggression, but they are motivated just by the love, where the love wants to express and embrace and create in a way.
You see, I agree completely on one level. And I would even say it's not even that, it's the natural way of living. That is natural. What we call normal, you know, way of living is actually verrückt. It is, you know, not at the right place. I think we are coming into an understanding what a conscious human being is, a better understanding more and more. And that's the natural way, because we are only happy in a way, in that way of living. We are unhappy, even if we have a happy life, if I may say so. But if you are very still and very tuned in with everybody that, or everything that exists, then some part is suffering, we suffer too. So, this will take, of course, time, that whole humanity feels and think like that. But we had moments in history where it happened. Tsunami, for example, or when big catastrophes are in the world, for a moment all the people have an attention toward these people or this earth part that is suffering and has compassion. Compassion is a natural state of being in us, which of course we can cultivate more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Max Planck Institute, Tanya Singer says, compassion we can train like a muscle. So it's a cultivation.
Yeah, and also this shifting in these different frequencies, I would also say this is kind of training where my awareness and my attention goes.
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
So in a way, what comes again and again to me is that we kind of really are invited to become the masters of our energy, of our awareness, of our attention. Where do we put it? What is really valuable for us? What is really nourishing? Where do we really feel that's our natural way of being, as you said?
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's really where we put the attention, life force goes there, and there we create. And if we have on destructive forces our attention, we nourish destructiveness. If we have it on presence, if it's on that, what we really see in beauty, we create beauty.
Yeah, and then in a way, what often happens to me is when I meet someone where I really sense that this person is totally attuned with its nature and with its movement, and whatever this person does, it doesn't matter what, but it's so touching for me because I see in that and I sense in that this is how we are meant to be.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It can be even if you clean the floor, it can be like a tea ceremony in the Zen tradition, you know, it has this light in it. Or, yeah, and that's how it is really. We are invited to co-create our world in this way, yes.
There, I just want to share a little story because you said this when you are cleaning. I had an experience a few years ago where I spent some time in Amma's ashram in India. And there is a huge hall where a few thousand people can sit. And there is a little Indian man cleaning the ground. And I just came across and I immediately stopped and looked at him and watched how he is doing that, because there was no separation between him and the ground and his cleaning material. He was 100% present in how he was cleaning the floor. And that had such a huge impact in me. It was, he was 100% what I would say in presence, in meditation. And it was so beautiful to be there and to see it and to kind of let myself be permeated with this, seeing someone really doing it. It really landed in me. And from this moment on, it also kind of stopped that I was separating sitting on a cushion or prayer or cleaning or cooking. It doesn't matter what you do. You can always be in this 100% presence and not separating yourself from what you do.
How wonderful. Yes.
That was so lovely. And then, Annette, I also got another image when you shared about this importance of connecting. So what came in my mind was this, how it is in nature when a caterpillar develops to a butterfly. So first there are a few new cells popping up, the imaginary cells also called, and then the immune system from the old, from the caterpillar, fights against these new cells emerging. And this goes forth and back several times. And I also know in my experience, in my process of development, and maybe many people can agree in that, it feels like going forth, going back, going forth, going back. But it kind of seems to be a very natural rhythm and a very natural act that it's like that. But when then the number of cells grow and grow, and when they start connecting, the moment where they start connecting, biology says, then it's powerful enough that the new image, the new being, the new creature of the butterfly can emerge.
Yeah, I think it's a very good metaphor for us to understand the process. And it's really interesting, as you said, you know, with the imago cells, how they, you know, are killed and then they start to rebuild and then they start to clump, then to build groups, then to network. And then the self-organizing principle takes over. That's very interesting, where really then the whole butterfly is emerging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Annette, I would like to hear from you a bit more, because what my experience is also is, in a way, I mean, we can't really imagine what is the new, what is the next. We kind of, what I get is that we can attune with it and follow it. But my imagination, my mind feels way too limited to understand or to get where we are going to. And I sense it's very, very important to build a sense of trusting and following something where you don't know where it exactly leads you, in a way.
Yeah, I think the new paradigm really brings us in contact with new tools. For example, intuition, telepathy. And it's true, we can only know in the three dimensionality. And we leave that behind, go into multi-dimensionality. And there are other laws also in when you say in the quantum field now, in the presence, we are going beyond space and time that we usually know in the three dimension. So yes, there is, in a way, we learn new tools which are here, which are in the human being, already present in a way. We just have to give space for it, cultivate it also, trust it, as you say, that we have much more knowledge. There is, for example, you know, we have the knowledge through the brain, which we are used, you know, to learn and then to remember and all that. But we have, in a way,
an access
to a much broader wisdom and knowing, which I would locate in the heart of the hearts, not in the brain, which you can ask internally at the right time, at the right space, with the right people. You have access to another kind of knowing in not knowing. So we have to trust the not knowing that can bring us to another way of knowing through introspection, through intuition, through also erahnen. What is the word?
I don't know it exactly, but it's a sensing, it's a guessing, it's
it's not quite the word, but never mind, but it's in that direction, you're right. Because we are all one. When we are all one, we have access to everything that is. So yeah, that's a very interesting time. We are in a way exploring a lot of new stuff, which we have people that have gone before us and have lived that, you know, Jesus, Buddha, other holy men and women that know of all this. And now these cities, we call it, is available for humanity when it is rooted in oneness. Only then it's available.
And you mentioned just briefly this heart in the heart. Is this also something which is more available for us when we are in oneness?
The heart of the heart is an incredible dimension, beyond any dimension. The heart of the heart is actually the dynamo. It is the light of the light. It's that what makes life work. It's that what gives us the possibility to think. Without the heart of the heart, you would not be able, without that light which is lent from the heart to the mind, we couldn't even think. So it's really the essence of the essence. And yes, of course, without, we cannot grab it, we cannot understand it, because the dimension is really like, as opening the heart of the heart, as small as a needle's tip, where the whole cosmos is dancing on it. That's the dimension. And beyond.
That's very interesting, because when I inwardly follow your words, the images I got were, it feels like it's really this point or this moment where creation starts, or where matter starts, or where, and my words are limited because it doesn't feel that it's limited in this dimension, but it's the best way how to describe it. It's like, yeah, and it makes me so exciting because it feels, I don't know, there is this sense when we manage to live that. I wanted to say to access it, but it feels wrong. It feels really becoming that, being that. This opens up possibilities, as you shared just before, much more possibilities than we yes. can imagine right now.
Yes.
It feels, yes. in a way, it feels natural and then also super, super powerful.
Yes. Yes.
Mm.
No, I mean, you know, we are really in, many of us have one leg still in the old system, and the other leg is already, you know, exploring the other side of the river, if I may so say. Yeah, I see this capacity, and you know, we have it also very in an earthly rooted manner. Self-healing starts more and more to be an issue. Many try with that, you know. There will be light healing coming more and more, and also new technology will be available, you know. But it needs a certain level of consciousness, of frequency of consciousness. Otherwise, the intuition is not coming into the people that develop it. It is linked to consciousness.
Hmm. Yeah. And that comes something to my mind, because when you said this, the word frequency, because a few years ago, I had Lyme disease, Borreliose in German. And my intuition said you don't take antibiotics. This is a very old way of dealing with it. And I just tuned in and I listened in a way to a wisdom inside. And then I received a sentence, the way how you can be healed or to manage to be with those bacteria or viruses is to really change your frequency.
Great.
To change your frequency, and then it doesn't harm you. And I was very curious, and I tried and I did, and it took me 2-3 days. I tuned in, but then really all the symptoms went. I don't had any pain anymore or fever or anything. And it's now, I would say it's about 7 years ago, and it didn't come back. And that was a really big practical lesson for me.
Great. What a joy to hear, because I really think many things, many illnesses also, we can heal by change of frequency, as you said. Yes.
Mm.
You know, we have also to be careful because, you know, sometimes I see people that have cancer or that have really, we have to differentiate in a way also. Sometimes this soul have decided that this life here on earth, that it's complete somehow, you understand? And it only works out if it is really congruent with, in a way, the soul plan or the deeper plan that we have inside or, yeah. So I see all these possibilities, and of course, in a long run, for the whole humanity will be rooted more and more, you know, in order to have the possibility to use this higher frequency for self-healing. And still, I just feel compassion for all these people, you know, who have not at the moment, for whatever reason, to use these new ways.
But in a way, I also sense, because I then met a woman just casually, and we talked, and we ended up in me sharing this experience, and not in a way of teaching her or convincing her, just sharing my experience, and she then just said in a moment, oh, thank you so much for just sharing this, because she felt that she was expanding and just being open for another possibility. It didn't exist in her mind. She never heard something, she never read something, and she said that really, she said she can physically feel as if she grew bigger. So in a way, I think it's also a value if we just share those stories where we learn something, where frequencies changed. Sharing it can really bring benefit to us as a
group. I agree completely. It can really open a door. And it's really a lot of what spirituality means is just opening the window.
Yeah. And Annette, I know that you are also connected to a group of people where you, together also with Barbara Marx Hubbard, where you really dive and explore into what is needed, and how can we support, and how can we be in order to make or to follow this evolutionary impulse and to embrace other possibilities. Is there anything you feel worth sharing where we can benefit, and what we can maybe practice or tune into, what you learn and experience in this circle with people?
Yeah, first of all, I enjoy the unique gift or the unique evolutionary expression like Barbara Marx Hubbard or other people, you know, because we inspire each other. So, yeah, I have a kind of a friendship with Barbara Marx Hubbard, where she has more the evolutionary ray that she incorporates, and I have more, in a way, the stillness. And so I learn a lot, and so we share something deeply together, being in a way sisters, evolutionary sisters in the source or sharing the source. So, but now, independent from all that, I think there are five areas where we could really have very practically look at in this evolutionary context. The first area is for me how we are among each other. How are we living in the family, in the friendships, in the nations, in our village? And there is a change. When we feel you talk with me, there is not the friendship in an old way. You being separated, I'm separate, and we meet somehow. It is more a field that we are in depth sharing, dancing in it, which the different colors we are given to share. And how we cultivate together, and I mean not only you and me, but all the people that are watching in daily life, that we really have a presence and love to go on another level together. Then another area for me is that we really tune in with Mother Earth, nature. Wherever we are, you know, we are spoiled. You are in this Bayerischen Wald, where you have just the forest beside you, and just, you know, to be under a tree. And not so much in separation, but in communio with the tree. It's such another experience of being, becoming and understanding a tree, or being friend with a tree, and also listening what Mother Earth, what a tree, what it really wants from us, or how we can share also our existence. Another field for me, and that is really a newer one, is the cosmos. And I understand that in the cosmos, there is a multitude of other existences. There are star systems, and these star systems are in a way also alive. Not in the way we are alive, in a different way, but I feel that, you know, humanity is not in the cosmos the only living being. Not at all. And there again are different frequencies, and there are systems, I would say galactic systems, where we are, because the veil of separation is slowly getting thinner, we have access to information for inspiration also, maybe for star systems, which have already gone through this process we are right now in, from separation, which is, to be honest, our Earth is quite a barbarian planet. We have so much suffering, what we are creating, you know, Gewalt.
Gewalt, I would say aggression and hurting each other.
Right. When we see how we treat our animals or, you know, resources and. So it's really, you know, so the cosmic realm is a realm for me that I'm discovering right now, and where I got very naturally, just sitting on a stone in a mountain, like a contact into other dimensions, where I was first a little bit, you know, frightened and all that. But I try to learn also to be a cosmic, that I get in touch with it and learn with it. And I mean, we know nowadays that probably our universe is just one of many. I mean, there are dimensions over dimensions. And it's also good to realize that our solar system is part of our galaxy. The galaxy has also a central sun, and this galaxy is one of billions of other galaxies. Not to be so exclusively thinking to be or not to be and all that. So to see the vastness and to open our heart, and always, of course, to be rooted in the present. The next field is for me the fourth, me and the thing that is unnameable. We would call it, some would call it Brahman, others Tao, other God. But you see, I think there's a dimension which is still a mystery and will be a mystery for us. And to open to that, because what we think nowadays or experience or have even written in text, what consciousness is and how it can develop, well, we are only halfway through on our Earth. We have still 4.5 billion of years to exist on our Earth. It can, you know, expand much more. Well, what do we think? So, to have, for me, again and again, you know, this nameless, this beyond words, even stillness, or the stillness behind the stillness. We have there a sharing, a time, a special time with the mystery, the big mystery. I think that is also good to cultivate. And the last one is the realm of me and my higher being. What is the relation? Do I really fully love this person that is sitting here? I mean, fully, you know, with the shadows, with the bigness, with the greatness. How am I through? Or are they things from my past still, you know, catching up? Or so these are for me 5 realms or 5 aspects that I consider as essential, and to find out again and again in relation to all 5 realms, aspects that are finally one, inseparable one. But there I can dance and with others, alone, and discover new aspects so that I go further, because I'm a beginner. I'm always a beginner. And at the same time, nothing.
Yeah, I just want to give that a bit space to land and to sink in us, because I feel that it's very, very true and important to acknowledge that. And in a way, Annette, when I would bring a more personal question. Where do you feel as Annette, as a person? Where do you sense yourself in this evolutionary process? Where is the territory where you explore the most, or where you feel edges to expand?
Well, every day is for me a possibility to get wider. You can learn from a cat. You can learn from, you know, meetings or whatever. But what I consider what is a personal field, I'm a pioneer, you know, in many ways. And I have to bring, you know, that's not so personal, because really I try, you know, the personal way, it's going already very naturally. I just learn. I'm a beginner, as I said, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm a normal human being. Awesome. Woman, I have a good husband. I have two children, all that, you know, it's very natural. It's nothing special. And for me, it is important that I'm not special in that, to be an example, that it is possible. Understand? I had to work my whole life and all that, you know, no privileges in that sense. And it's possible. So that is that. But the pioneer work is really in a two sense, to bring in the feminine aspect in spirituality more into the center. And what does it mean? It means really a way of living. It means to help co-creating heaven on earth. I have a very clear vision about that, which there I stand for. And then I have, of course, universal spirituality is also another aspect, because I am, of course, rooted in the teaching from Mrs. Creedy, which I thank her so much for her training again and again. And I expand into universal spirituality, which leaves beyond and includes the special ray that goes into that has no color. So there too, I think, doing some pioneer work. And very practical, I have initiated a project for Europe. And I've also made this little book, you know, the Die Seele Europas erwacht, the soul of Europe is awakening. And so I try in my engagement without in a doing by not doing to bring that into Europe, because I see in Europe a strong possibility to make a step ahead, not regressing. At the moment we see the regression, but I see, because of many circumstances, we could make a step forward for many reasons, which means really to create or co-create a Europe out of prior unity, before all differences appear. Respecting and celebrating the differences in unity. And this is a jump, and it means change of financial systems, change of, you know, the decrease from the north, rich and poor, south and all that, to be able to have tolerance for the differences, to have not so much, you know, I try to elaborate together with some other people also new ways of organization, where we don't have hierarchies, structural hierarchies, natural hierarchies, yes, where the person that has to say something, building a house, we need an architect. And he has to say, if it's about being present, then it's a spiritual teacher standing up. But we all sit in a circle, having different roles, and the one that is necessary speaks up and sits down again. So all these are new ways of also really, really, you know, estimate, respect each human being, whatever they are. See the light in them and go from there in a way empowering themselves to be what they really are. Things like that. So, you know, in many aspects, I try to sing my song with others.
Beautiful. And those engagements you shared, are those also networks where people who are listening to this or who are watching this video could also participate in a way? Is this something you people would maybe find on your website if they're interested?
Yes, there are links on the website, and the European project is called Co-Creating Europe, and the website will be at the end of August officially, and then all the information is there. We just made a walk also. We do walks also in each country. Is the idea very simple, to walk together, to sweat together, to have cold together, to experience the mountains, the paths, the seas, and to go in the spirit of unity for Europe. That's one thing. And then also another idea is that we have a forum in 2021 where all the new cultural projects that work, communities, new energy, permaculture, you know, all new technology, all the people come together, getting visible for mainstream, so that people in the mainstream that have no idea what is already the young green we were talking before is already growing, giving them a perspective and say, look, that is possible, that is possible. So that really, it opens, you know, the windows really. As you said before with this lady, you know, where you talked about the frequency. Yeah. So if people get to know what is possible, it will really change the atmosphere, the frequency in Europe as part of the whole world.
I love hearing that. It's beautiful. And in a way, I mean, I see a lot what is not working, but I feel so much joy and so much pull and call, because I feel and I sense we can really create something bigger and better. It's just there. It feels as if there would be just a very thin curtain be between how we live now as a collective in mainstream and between what is possible. It feels so thin for me. So I have so much hope.
Yeah, the blueprint is there. The blueprint, it's all there. Because, you know, many times I do little exercises in when I have retreats or my doors and my things I do at the Villa Umspunnen. I ask them, how does the world look like? The best you can imagine. I tell you, everybody says the same. So I really think that we have a blueprint in our heart of a world, because it's, you know, we have chosen to be here on this planet Earth, and we all have in a way a deep knowledge, a deep knowing. We can see the best how it could look like, our world. We have to open the door once more so that we materialize it here.
Yeah, I just got, it would be really just helpful if people really feel a resonance with it, with this image you're sharing, with this blueprint in our heart and as you beautifully said, it's not different. We all have the same. So just spending there every day a few minutes connecting to that, it also feels supporting it coming alive.
Yeah, and I think it would also really help the collective process of getting more conscious together, that we not only transform ourselves and have an eye on that, but also already have really the image of Mother Earth, you know, and how it could look like, and nourish that, as you suggested, each day, just a minute or 3 minutes. Wow. I tell you, Mother Earth would make a jump. That is, it's really true.
Hope that with this interview and many others which are following, we can inspire people and give a taste of it, so that we all together can tune into that and collaborate and co-create. This is the motivation where I do all of the organization work and all this technique and all this, because I believe in this. We can, when we come together and when we tune into it and when we really dedicate our life to it, we can create a world where we really love to live in.
Guria, I think it's great what you said and what you do and what you share with us. It's wonderful. And think 20 years back, you wouldn't have spoken like that, and I neither. So really, it is an acceleration of frequency also at the moment taking place. This is unbelievable. Only within a short time. That is also, I think, good to be aware of how much things are changing.
Oh yeah, thank you for reminding us to that. That's really very important. Annette, our time together came to an end. It was very so inspiring and so rich what you brought, and sitting in your presence, you really embodying what you share. It's not just words. It's really, you are that, and that is really, I can sense it, and my whole system is vibrating in that. And I hope we can transport it and could invite many people into that frequency. And I just want to give you the opportunity, if there is anything you haven't spoken about yet and you want to share to close our space together, I just want to give you that chance.
Love and do what you want. Be free and love. Without any limitation, as the one heart.
Thank you so much, Annette. It was a joy, an honor, and a pleasure to have this possibility to have this conversation with you.
Thank you.
And thank you to all listeners and viewers, wherever you are, that you take your time, that you took your time to be with us, to tune in, and to hopefully be expanded and be open to much more possibilities. I thank you from the bottom of my heart.